This is August 21st, and there will be no meeting in September. So the next meeting will be October 30th, 1994, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
And I'd like to say some things that I hope will not be too bothersome. But now that we're winding down, we need to really be clear about some very basic areas of understanding. And one of them is this. Endlessly, people come and they say, I do not yearn enough for God. Because, as you well know, however you put it, whatever way your particular mind or psyche processes the truth of this, there is the thing that catapults us into any new awareness, whether it be on the earth plane or other levels, is a certain yearning, that is a certain longing. For example, an enlightened one has a longing. It is not the same longing that one who is pretending not to be enlightened has, but it is a longing nevertheless. And what is this longing? It characterizes itself as wanting to ever deepen into the experience of the totality. It wants to deepen, do you understand, to be ever deeper immersed into this wondrous bliss of true nature. And when you are not yet claiming your enlightened state, when people come and say, I don't yearn enough, the difficulty about that statement is this. Oftentimes, the reason that you are not in touch with your yearning is that you are afraid to get in touch with that whole level, because one of the main dynamic levels of awareness for the human at this time is fear. There is a level of fear for the planet. There is a level of fear for the what you could consider to be perhaps the chaotic nature of the warlike manifestations of humanity against humanity that you're witnessing in the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you begin to deepen into the place where yearning is, it is also the place where the fear is. Where the fear and the hopelessness and the sense of a planet perhaps out of control is. Now, we have told you again and again that that is a illusory way of seeing the planet. But nevertheless, if it happens to be true for you to really face the fact that you are not deepening into your yearning because you are afraid of your own fear, afraid of your own body's illnesses, potential or non-existent or maybe real as manifesting in the moment, your own fear about financial situations and future finances, all of that fear for what's going to happen to your children, to your grandchildren, to the economy, to the planet. I mean, you know, there's a lot of fear running around. And, you know, you would be very stupid to sit here and say, I'm not afraid. If you're not afraid, then you're not looking. If you're not on some level involved in what I would call the universal pain, your life can be beautiful, pristine, wonderful. But at the same time, there is a reality that is a universal sorrow, a universal pain. And you cannot bypass that. You are part of the entirety of humanity, and it is part of your destiny to carry that pain. And the one who is in the spiritual path that says, I don't have any pain. God is everywhere. God is light. God is love. I am light. I am love. Most of the time, when it comes from that high octave of the voice, do you know what I mean? Way up there. It hasn't come from being which says, I feel the pain of all humanity. What does an enlightened one say? They don't say, don't be silly about your pain. Oh, how foolish of you to have the pain. Go and wake up and then come back. What do they say? They say, absolutely, we understand with all of being the pain. And it is in allowing yourself, my friends, even if you will not allow yourself to have your own personal pain, to allow yourself to open to the humanity and the ache that is going on. And that is a frightening piece of information. but it is an allowing yourself to deepen into that pain that you are going to move through it. And as you move through it and acknowledge it, you are going to find something quite exciting within that, which is you will find in the midst of your own pain and in the midst of this pain of humanity, you will find the pearl. You will find the jewel in the heart of consciousness. You will find the golden light. You will find the light and the power and the awareness and the wisdom and the integrity that has formulated the world as it is manifesting. And that is not a mental thing. Your mind cannot accept that reality. In fact, people say things like, well, if I had been running this world, I would have done it a lot better. Well, you see, that kind of statement comes from mind. It comes from arrogant mind. It comes from mind that has not gone through the pain and the incredible willingness to feel other people's pain. You see, my friends, what you do, and I understand. But let's just go through it. Because you are fearful of your own pain, you have this sense of, well, I can handle my own in small dosage. But let's not get too big, and let's not feel too deeply, and let's not get too aware, because then all of it is going to come rushing in. But the truth of consciousness is quite the opposite. You cannot deepen into the God self without deepening into all of it. And all of it means the pain and the absolute fear that must be present in your minds if you are looking. If you are not, then you are living a shallow existence that goes around saying, everything's fine, have a wonderful day, with no reality there at all. It is the willingness, and you see, when you approach any kind of ending, whether it be the end of your life, the end of a very meaningful job, the end of a personal relationship, the end of whatever it might be, the death of someone you care for, when these endings come, then you are in a position of vulnerability, so you begin to, the pain is so large that it comes in and you finally claim your pain. And in claiming your own, you find this magnificent alchemy that allows you to claim the pain of others. You say, I couldn't hold the pain of all of humanity. And I say, oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can, because you are never asked to do more than you can do. And as you begin to deepen and become aware of the integrity of the pain, not the capricious mistake of the pain, but the integrity of the pain, the worthwhileness, the, if you like the word, the purpose. I don't like the word, but that's all right. Then as you deepen all of the parts of being awaken, and you awaken at the same time this tremendous understanding, the awakened one looks at the world and says, I understand. And in the midst of the pain, what do they see? They see the immeasurable beauty that is constantly present in all of createdness. It is not something to jump over. It is not something to slip out of. Now, many people start the spiritual path because they want to avoid pain. And that's a very legitimate way to step your feet upon the path. But there comes a time when you have to understand that that will not hold. That it is not enough to just want to get enlightened so you can be happy. To be enlightened so you can be happy is a very shallow reason. You have the yearning that propels you to awaken to God consciousness or truth or whatever comes when you really understand the mess that this planet and your own situation is existing in. If it's not like that now, what can happen tomorrow? Do you understand? Claiming the fear rather than running from the fear. One of the things that is a great disservice to the spiritual community, the so-called New Age, is this idea that if you're unhappy, that you're not spiritual. Do you know? If there's anything wrong with you, well, then you're just not spiritual. Well, it's your reality. You created it. Now create something else. Well, you know how easy that is. So what is the way? The way has been the way it's always been. You go back to the very first teachers when consciousness first became awakened to the mess it was in, and the message was the same then as it is now. There has to be the let go. People say, oh, just let go. Well, they usually mean, oh, let go into the bliss. Well, when you let go, your example, on a cliff, and you let go, well, there's all of those minutes before you hit whatever's down there. And it's that free fall that is so frightening. But it is not when you are doing it. When you are in the process of of just sitting tonight when you go home, daring even for a few minutes to say, I will feel everything that's there, including the terror, including the fear, including all of the things that I have tried so hard to run away from in whatever shape or form. And it is the magic of this process is in not running anymore, but just collapsing into what is at this moment, the integrity of all of it becomes very clear to you. Another way of saying it is you begin to see the light, the constantly ever-present light of integrity. Integrity running through every event in your life, in the life of others, in the life of the planet. You then are free to cry the tears for yourself as well as for all of humanity. And then you are really qualified to decide if you want to be enlightened, not for one's own happiness, but because you understand the tremendous need for it. If I told any of you, you see, you are all at the heart of you, world servers. I've told you this before. You wouldn't sit and listen to this unless in some level of your being you were a world server, meaning you have come to serve that which is greater than you. You have come to serve that that is vaster than you. Either some community that you may belong to, or some organization, or whatever it might be, or the world itself. You have come to serve on the deepest level, which means not running around doing good. You know, that's fine. Run around and do good. You know, much better than doing bad. Only because you'll have less humbug in your life, you know. But it's up to you. But that is not the point. The point here is not the doing good, but the knowing of the good. The awakening to the absolute good, not as contrasted to absolute bad, so it's a bad word, but to the absolute inherent integrity and beauty and wonder in your life and all of life exactly as it is being created. This idea that there is a creator who's run amok and has created all these crazy lives that you're leading, and if only that creative principle would get it together and start creating something really nice, you see, all distancing. All distancing. The truth here is that your life, as exactly as it is now, with all of the difficulties, whatever they might be, have an absolute necessity. And as soon as you are willing to collapse into your fear, to move down deeply into everything that's there, you find the strength that you're looking for, that your mind can never collect. Many of you, my friends, are counting on your mind to pull you out of your difficulties. Do you understand? Do you? You talk to yourself. You say, oh, everything's fine. God is love. God loves me. So this mess I'm in, well, I don't understand, but God loves me, and someday I'll figure it out, and someday I'll get out of this. This is the mind talking. But the mind is only thought. And thought is not experience. And what you want is a total awakening of the experience of the absolute wonder and integrity of your life and all life. Life in its total fullness. Because when you have, even if it's just for a split moment of that, you see. And you see the creative principle. It is most wondrous. And there's no longer this question of, did I do it right? Did they put me down the wrong chimney when the storm came over? You know, what's the truth here? You just relax into your life, and you, at the same moment, allow everyone else to relax in their life exactly as they are creating it and living it. And then you stop being a humbug. You begin to allow other to be as they are without trying to adjust. You know, my friends, you spend a lot of time on the adjustment dials, you know, well, let's adjust it a little bit over here, and then we'll adjust it a little bit over here. Well, now how does that look? It's like you're hanging a picture. Well, a little to the right, and a little, yes, now it looks good, and then something shakes and it moves again. Well, now let's put it back over here. You know, all this adjusting comes from this idea that if the external just would look right and all right just for a moment, just for a little while, that somehow you would be happy. But as you know, and I hope all of you know, you have had many happy moments. I hope there's no one in this room or listening to any of these windy tapes that doesn't have the absolute remembrance of day after day after day moments of happiness. In the midst of the most disastrous life, faced with the most terrible afflictions, whether they be your own or to those that you love or whatever, in the midst of that hell, there is also always present the happiness. But because you are addicted to drama and to creation, you rarely pay attention to the sweetness of the bliss of being. The bliss of being is always present, my friends. And the way you reach it is to just let go. And it is the let go that just forces you to float down through all that is present. Your own fears, the fears that you have legitimately have about your own life and about the life of others and the planet and whatever it might be. You are not fools. And these fears are not just something that you created, you know, in a moment in your garden all by yourself. You know, you have mass creation going on here. And the creative principle, as seen through limited eyes, can frighten you. But the creative principle seen through awakened eyes, which means eyes that are willing to see it all, then see with the eyes of love. Can I even use that word? The eyes of total love that can look on every experience of your own and other, everything that's happening in the world with utter love, no matter what it looks like. Can you imagine the bliss of feeling that feeling of love in you as you live your life? Every moment, moment after moment, that, how do you reach that love? You don't reach it by saying, I want to love, I want to love, I need to love, I need more love. Mary Margaret, you must be more loving, or whatever your name might be, so on. And do you know what does that do? That just terrifies you because it reminds you of what you don't have. Anytime you say, I need so-and-so, what does it remind you of? I don't have so-and-so. So you see, you trap yourself into what I call a negative mantra. And in the negative mantra, you keep going around and around and around, and there is no way out. Then what is the way out? The way out is the way in, and that means to just simply be brave enough to let go. There isn't one of you who shouldn't feel some degree of excitement about going home this evening or afternoon, taking out your notebook and opening to allow yourself in some way to feel and to let go all of those fears. And you have been running endlessly from them, and they just follow behind you. They just follow. And the only way is to stop and turn around. Just stop and turn around. You will find you have your private fears, and you will find that you are just aching for the aches of this planet that have nothing to do with your lives. And that is what love is. You know, that which can feel the vast pain of other and be able to hold it. And your mind cannot hold it because your mind immediately says, I'm responsible. How can I fix it? This is a terrible problem. I have to work with it. How did it happen? How did it get created? How can I stop it? But that's not what awareness says. Awareness looks at it and sees it with the eyes of integrated love and total integrated understanding, not mental, but understanding of being, being itself. And it is in that flame of being with being that there arises clarity. But it does not come from avoidance. And if you are on the path because you want to feel good, then you will never reach the goal, because that is not the point. You are not supposed to feel good. You are supposed to feel being. You are supposed to integrate totally, fully, and completely with being, so that then from that moment on, you can be a useful vessel to truly help. Because until you have removed your sense of fear, you can only move through your fears. And you can be very courageous in moving against your fears. But there has to be a moment when you are willing to just experience everything. Because now you say, I just want God because God is good and God feels good. But there is this awakened moment in the mature consciousness that says, wait a minute. If it's all one, then how can I say I'm only willing to feel the happy side of God? What if it turns out that what helps most is for me to be willing to feel the pain and the suffering, not only of my life, but of other? And then arises the fear, I can't do that. And the answer is, yes, you can. All you have to do is to be willing, is just to be willing. And in that letting go, and in that admission that you are helpless, and you were simply in the hands, whatever words you want, Great Spirit, awareness, God, whatever words you use, that there is a vast immensity of a principle at work here, and that you surrender to that. And as you surrender to that, out of that relieves the fear, and the clarity begins to come, and the light begins to shine in the darkness, and you begin to see, to really see. When someone is saying something to you that is difficult for you, instead of running into confrontation or to running away into avoidance, I ask you to just say to yourself, am I willing in this moment to just feel this person's pain without defending myself, without trying to make myself right, without any justification? Am I willing to just be here in the presence of this other person's pain without thought? And you know, something very interesting happens, and I'm sure many of you have already tried it. I'm not telling you anything new. In that willingness to feel their pain, you see, it becomes your pain. It is not their pain. It is the pain. It isn't even our pain. It is the pain. The pain of humanity that believes itself to be separate from its own nature. The saddest thing about these generations is that never in the history of the world has human life been so separated from the source of its being. And this is why you're feeling this tremendous pressure. But at the same time, never has there ever been a greater potentiality for totally understanding, for total understanding of the entire way of awareness. It is now. And as a side effect, there is a lot of chaos. But I will tell you that the victories are immense, and they're for you. But they have to come through that letting go into the heart, and whatever is there, is there. I would like to ask if there are any questions about this.
When you let go and it comes back all the time, it seems like I haven't let go.
Very good, Eric. Thank you. Nice to see you. Yes, he says, I let go and it goes away and then it comes back. Of course. Of course it does. Of course it does. This is the either you believe that you can continue to let go and it gets lesser and lesser, or you don't. What would be very helpful is to be able to project you back 10 years to the difference in your psyche 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and place you back in the situation that you were in then. Any of you, do you understand? But you've forgotten. You've distanced yourself from that pain and suffering because you're here and you've got this pain and suffering. So you forgot about that pain and suffering, right? It's gone. It's finished. But if we were to just all for a moment be transported, you would be saying, take me back. Take me back. Because you have let go so much. All of you, each in your own way, not just this way, in all of your ways, have let go so much. But we are talking about the final complete let go. We are talking about the ending. And at the beginning, it seems like I let go, and then something arises. Then I let go. But finally, Eric, finally, there comes a time. Finally. If enough yearning is present. You see, if you just keep paying attention to how painful the moment is, without running away from the moment, you will become very aware that you are in pain. You'll be aware of a level of fear that is existing. And when that level of fear is present, then it becomes your way to letting go. And it can happen in a moment. This is not something that has to go on and on and on. But in a moment when you finally awaken to the truth that you are not happy, that there is fear, that there is sorrow, that there is projected fear and terror, and you do not want any distractions to distract you from it. The willingness to finally, once and for all, experience it totally, fully, finished. In that letting go, something does change. Something does change. And in the beginning stages, it's partial, partial, partial. But finally, instead of looking around for all the sweetness, if you just allow yourself to face, I don't even mean face, to just allow yourself to be with whatever is happening, then comes, that's where the yearning comes. That's where the truth comes. Because, my friends, many of you are telling yourself stories. You are telling yourself stories. And the stories are, if I do this and this and this, I'm going to be happy. Well, you know, maybe, maybe not. All I know is, right now, you have absolute potentiality for total bliss. But it only comes through being willing to be fully what you are, which is all of the pain, all of the suffering. You have to be willing. If you do not have that kind of fearlessness, then you will just have to do it gradually, in and out, and then finally, one day, in a great let go, you will be willing. And that's when, finally, you understand what it means when you say, not my will, but yours. Until that moment, there is no understanding of that. But in that moment, the collapsing of the belief that you can fix it, collapse the belief that it has to be different, that it can be different, just to let go into what is, comes the, that is the moment of what we would call the true surrender. And that's when you say, all right, God, as you would have it, so will it be for me. It is my joy to experience whatever it is that has been given me to experience. I'm willing. I am willing. No longer I'm willing as long as it's nice. Yes?
But isn't there such a thing as honest beauty and honest...
Of course there's honest beauty. Of course there's honest beauty.
There.
No, of course, everyone. Is there anyone in this room that doubts that there's honest beauty? How could we even dispute such an amazing wonder? Of course there's honest beauty. But what I'm asking you is, do you want continuous honest beauty? Whether it is looking at a maggoty cat decaying before your eyes, or Rwanda, or a beautiful sunset, do you want to see honest beauty everywhere it exists, which is in every particle, every moment of consciousness? Do you want to see with the eyes of understanding and compassion and total knowing? Do you want to see with the way God sees? Or do you want to see in your limited ideas of what beauty might be? Beauty is everything, in every place, at every time. It cannot be other, because the truth of it is all absolutely magnificent. But the finite thinking mind says, this is not beautiful to me, so I love what's beautiful, and I'm terrified of what is not. So I'm saying it's the time for the maggoty cats. Look, they're living in your life anyway. They come up in your dreams. They come up in your paintings, if you dare to paint and draw. They come up in your poetry, if you paint. They come up in your dancing. They come up in your fights with your lover or your children or, I don't know, your job and your boss. They come up anyway. And they are just the unprocessed terror inside of you. You do not get angry at someone else who is treating you badly when you really understand. And it is your fear that comes up that matches their fear, and then you are enmeshed in this fear. So the answer is simply, are you willing? Are you willing? And then, I am not pretending that this is easy. I'm not saying it is easy. But in the midst of the moment, are you willing to feel their pain? To feel their anger? To feel their hatred for you? You know the greatest teacher of that is Christ, of course. Forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Oh, God, for heaven's sake, forgive all these. They haven't a clue what they're doing. Don't hold it against them. Ah, what a statement of total oneness. Just, I understand. Don't worry. And in so saying, by that total willingness to have total forgiveness on the part of the one who seems to be the one who is being defiled, then you can really say, in the deepest sense, that they were saved from their own karma. In some very deep way. Then they only have their own to worry about. Because the forgiveness had already come. It's a deep question, but I hope that answers. Yes, ma'am.
I have much respect and fear for teenagers who are experiencing sin.
All right. The question. What do you do? Well, I'm going to put it in a question. a sense of fear for the teenagers in the family. Now, again, this is an absolute perfect example. If you go to your thinking mind, especially if the family is involved in drugs or whatever they're in drugs, you know, being a normal teenager, these days seem to enjoy all of that as part of what they are. But looking at it from the outside and seeing all the terror, one can get totally caught up in it and terrified and almost immobilized with fear. But to be willing just for a moment in their presence to feel what they are feeling, then you will understand them. You cannot understand anybody if you are outside of their situation. You cannot. You can only experience it when you are in it. And how are you in it? Not with your mind, because your mind says this is terrifying, whatever one says. But in that moment of just being willing to experience what they are experiencing, and then something new can be born. Until then, it's just mind fighting mind. You can put it as generation fighting generation, but it's much simpler than that. It's just egos fighting egos. Fear. And with a legitimate fear, I am not denying that there is good reason to be fearful. I'm not denying. I'm simply saying, you want out, you be willing, in the moment, in the intensity of them there, you here, just without saying anything, are you willing to feel what they're feeling? And if you are, then you will understand. One of the things that I've said for this whole work that has gotten me in a lot of trouble is people come and they say, well, I surround myself with the golden light and I do all of this and all of this. And my statement has always been that is a kind of a middle approach. And finally, there has to be the moment when you are willing to let down the light and put everybody in it. That it's not just you being safe, but you put everybody in the light. Everything that you fear, everything that you hate, everything that terrifies you goes into the vastness of that light. And that, how do you do it? You do it one-on-one. One person's, are you willing to feel the other person's fear? And as you do, understanding flashes through the mind. Separation goes. You know this. It goes. Even for an instant. Does it rise again, perhaps? So be it. Do you understand? It's just the willingness to continually stop the thinking mind which separates you and be willing to feel what they are feeling. They are not fools either. You know, these teenagers are not fools. They've been born into a very intricately complex pattern, and it's complex, and they are struggling. And when you understand even for a moment, lovely one, you then, without saying anything, now become the friend rather than that which is outside. You become, you don't have to do anything or say anything. All you have to do is to be willing to be with their pain. And you don't say something like, well, I'm willing to be with your pain. I mean, you know, they'll go, have you been doing what we've been doing? You understand? It's not like that. It's nothing outside. There's no outward invisible sign. It's an inward and spiritual grace. Just like that. The silent willingness, moment after moment, when the police officer is about to give you the ticket. All these moments, all of this. Remember Ram Dass's great story about when the police officer comes to give him a ticket because he's been going down the highway in his big, big car doing mantras on Krishna. And here comes the police officer, and if you know, Krishna is blue. And here comes the police officer, and what does Ram Dass say? This is Krishna in drag. Wonderful. Do you understand? So the police officer is doing what he does, and Ram Dass is doing what he does, and they go out and they kick the tires and talk about, oh, this great car, kick, 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 and there's no ticket. And so, well, it doesn't mean you're not going to get a ticket. I'm simply saying that there has to be the willingness to experience it's all you, that you have the ability, if you don't like the word, it's all you, let's take a secondary step. The willingness to just open so that other, you can feel the pain of other. And in that moment, their fear and their integrity in choosing what they have chosen becomes clear. There's no other way. You can talk until you're green. And that don't do it. It's that last moment of, I am willing. And in that willingness, a strange thing happens. You also participate in finding your own willingness to be with your own pain. It's one of those tricky little things. You pretend to be doing it for other, but in reality, who is the one that gets the bonus? You who do it. All right? There was another question. Yes?
I find recently my sorrow and my terror is increasing more and more. And
good.
Yeah, well.
Did you hear that? Yes, well. All right, go ahead.
Well, on the one hand, I mean, just this last week, I was flooded with so much terror. It was so very unpleasant, and I tried to say, stop. And yeah, it left a little. But on the one hand, you say, okay, welcome it, say, come on, get into it. On the other hand, you say, let go.
It's the same thing. Let's see if we can, if you haven't gotten it, let's see if we can say, because it's a wonderful statement. Because it's the same thing. Letting go into is the same thing as stopping, is the same thing as letting it flood you. What happens in all of the instances is that you stop trying to get away. Thinking mind tries to struggle and get you a pathway out. In that moment, you see, and that's where you get trapped. But in the willingness to not try to understand your terror, to not, and yes, is it fearful? Are you afraid that it will be too much, that it will kill you, that it will derange you? Of course. I told you this game was not for sissies. If you're a sissy, then quit playing. You're not going to make it. And what I mean by that is, are you willing to risk everything, to get everything? Are you willing to risk it? To risk everything, to get everything, or not? If you're not, then play another game. But this one requires, finally, you have to just let go into what is present. And I want to agree with you that the level of fear is rising, not only in your own situations, you know, that's as personal as it might be, but absolutely on a national scale. You go back to your great-great-grandparents, and you measure the level of their terror and their children, and it is nothing like is being experienced now. And you can look at this and say, this is terrible. And I say, no, it is not. When you see it as terrible, you are looking through limited, pleasure-addicted ego. And the ego wants its awakening to be pleasurable. It wants it to be sweet. It wants to be gentle and kind. And it may be for you. I mean, who's to say? But I do know that no one reaches the depths without going through the depths. You don't jump over it. You don't jump over. And when you are willing, it's the stopping the running. It's the stopping the way to figure it out. It's just stopping the words that this has been given. Stop these words as well. They will not help you. Just be willing to just experience all of the terror, all of the hell, all of the fear. And in so doing, something transforms. Running away does not do it.
What if you're in a public place? This week, this happened to me. I was in the middle of a public place. I wanted to...
All right, well, then I think you should have run up. No, should. Of course not. Of course, that's obvious. You don't want to fall apart in front of everyone, you know, unless you want to, and go ahead. But, right, of course, the understanding here is that whatever fear was triggered is not just from that moment. It isn't that situation triggered fear. The fear was there and was triggered by circumstances which added to it, which clarified it, which made fear very real. And when fear is very real, it's real. And so when you are back in your home, there is no problem with reawakening fear, not that specific fear, but just open up. That fear is also there. What was, in other words, you've taken on another cup full of fear. And so it is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. So hold it till you get home and then be willing. But even in the moment when this fearful thing is happening, instead of waiting, can you have the courage? And this is an absolutely individual thing. Do you have the courage in that moment for even a short increment of time to be willing to experience the other? Not just yours. Are you willing to just experience what's happening? Are you willing? Is this a difficult situation? Of course. But I want you to remember, and this is very essential, I want you to remember that even a fragmentary asking for absolute help, courage, assurance, just asking for help, brings the help you need. You are not alone in these situations, my friends. You simply are not. But when the terror becomes so great, there seems nowhere to run, you don't know what to do, just ask. You know, inside, you don't have to say, oh, please, blah, blah, blah. Just ask with all of being, help. They understand help. They understand help. In fact, it's the simplest, it's the cleanest, it's the fastest way to receive. It's just that openness, help. But Of course it's difficult. But you can say again that this is a terrible thing, all of this fear is accumulating, and we say, please understand, you know, a nincompoop is not running the show. No, no, there's some great wisdom here. And as the fear begins to grow, finally, at last, many, many large groups of mankind are getting ready to say, we have to get through this. We have to get through this. There's too much at stake. There is the planet itself. There is mankind itself. There's humanity. There is the future. We must get through this. And that absolute willingness to get through it means to go through it, to be willing to allow it to be a part of you so in turn you can understand. The moment that you understand, not with mind, but with your being, there is no judgment. And then you do what needs to be done. But you do it from a big space. But as long as you play the spiritual game to stay safe and happy, you will never reach the depths that you yearn for. You just can't. Because it is at the depths that you really meet the power of the true nature. And you, I just ask you to be as fearless in your fear as you can be. And to realize, just to be willing to stop this isolated me first. And being willing to truly feel someone else's pain. You do anyway, you know. But instead of your emotions taking it, most of you, your bodies take it. So you feel it anyway. It isn't as if you can avoid it. But to go through a children's ward of a hospital all closed up and thinking that you get out unscathed, no. But then the terror of going through a children's ward all open, can you feel your fear? Can you? Of a hospital just going through? This is why you have to rely on the comforter. This is why you have to rely on the comfort and the guidance of the great ones, or of consciousness itself, or some teacher that you believe in. Don't walk alone, but just be willing. I told you some of you wouldn't enjoy today, but nevertheless, it has to be said. There was a question, yes.
I control the trust myself, that my spirit will take me.
I'm slow learning, but I got it. You were saying that you have said to the high self, if I need to experience anything, then let me experience it. And if the high self doesn't take you into this pain and suffering, that you don't need to go through this. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm trusting it will take me there, but I don't...
Yes, but you see, you are separating yourself from this self. You were saying this high self is somewhere over there doing something, and you're over here. I want to ask you, who got you in the chair today to hear this message, your high self or your small self? Ah. Your high self didn't want you here. Can we have a little fun here and play a little? To see what she's done. You all have done it. You see, there's the high self and then there's the low self. And there's the fast road and the slow road. And there's the good and the bad and so forth. I want you to know there's only one self and it's sitting here today. If you are here today and you were sitting and hearing these words, who do you think wanted you to hear them?
Myself.
Your total self. You wouldn't have picked today with all this. Rarely do we speak this way, but this is the day. So here you are, and here is the talk, and here you are. And so now you can say, well, the self didn't really want me to hear that, or whatever you could say. Everyone will make up their own excuse. But nevertheless, you must understand that you are here. And that means that the vastness of your being wanted you here, or you would not have been here. Your car would have self-destructed. Oh, that's, I'm not wishing that on it at all. No, no, just, you know, a statement. Understand, you would not be here, even those of you that wish you hadn't come, those of you that are hoping that this will end very soon so you can go home, even you, a part of this goes in, that because, why is it important? Look at the great ones. Look at Francis. You know, you don't have to go any further than Francis. You like Rumi? Try Rumi. You want a really hot one? Try Rumi of the Sufis. Oh, my. All right. Now, all that they are saying is you have to see everything as coming from God, including coming to this lecture today. Now, if you choose not to pay attention, then obviously it's not your time to pay attention, so don't pay attention. If you never do it, don't do it. There are people in this room who are going to do it. They are going to do it. They are finally come to the end, and they are saying, I'm going to try it. I've tried everything else. I'm going to try it. And they will be willing to let go into the moment exactly as it is. And they are the ones who will absorb it. Those who don't absorb it, did they do something wrong? Obviously not. They will go and do something else. But the teaching just gets presented, and the ones who can hear it, who need to hear it, hear it. This doesn't mean that the ones that don't hear it are bad. It just means it's not their hearing. It's not their teaching. There will be another time, another place with some other teaching that will bring them ultimately to the same moment of surrender. There is either one thing, and you are it all, or you can separate it up. This is why high self, low self can help for a long time, but my friend, eventually you have to drop it. Because this is why Mary Margaret has to quit channeling Bartholomew. There has to be a cessation of Mary Margaret and Bartholomew. How better to do it than to quit? Perfect. Huh? Either that or make a fool of her sitting up here. You know, so why not? So there has to be, you know, it plays out in all of your ways. That's separate from you. No. There's but one. And your way of verbalizing the separation is high self, low self. Mary Margaret is Bartholomew Mary Margaret. Same thing. But it has to stop. It has to stop. So stop. And always remember. Always remember. Who got me here? Who is here anyway? Who's here? We are back to the essential question which drives people crazy. Which is, who are you? Who is sitting here? Is your ego sitting here and your high self, you know, on Neptune or having lunch somewhere? I mean, you know, or is there but one thing here? And who is it? And what is it? In fact, more important, not what is here, who are you not? This is another way of looking at the question. The question often comes out, who are you? Who am I? Well, there's a very good way of putting it the other way. Who are you not? And as you get quieter and quieter, you realize you are not your thoughts. You realize, and this is what's so essential about facing fear. You find out you are not the fear. That the fear is present, but you are not it. That is what you are not. And as you go through what you are not, you find that you are not your emotions, because they come and go, they rise and fall. You are not your body, because you're not even aware of your body many hours of the night, and still it exists. So where is the you that identifies with body? All of this. You begin to see who you are not. And what's left over is what is. You see, you can flip it the other way. But this is intense inward questioning. The willingness to be honest and say, what's there? And more important, what's not there? What am I really not? Well, you cannot be your fears. Because you know that whatever you are is eternal, unending. And the fears come and go. You know you are not bodies. They come and they go, they drop, they fall, they die, they do this, they do that. You can't be that. You can't be your mental structure. It changes constantly. You can't be that. Then what are you? When you've eliminated everything, what's left? What's left is what you know to be left. And you know this intimately. You know only one thing. We've said this before. You know just one thing. And what is that one thing? That you know the sense in you of the I am. You never confuse yourself with the gentleman next to you. Am I you or you me or we? You know. That I that is the expression is continuous through all times and in all places. You wake up in the morning and you don't say, am I the same I that went to sleep last night, or did another I come in while I wasn't looking? You know, you know I, and that's all you know. Everything else changes, rises and falls, comes and goes. But the I, The sense of I is always there. That's it. And you find it by realizing that fear is not who you are. That you just acknowledge, you get into fear and you realize what it is. You see its nature. You see its transitory. Its transitory nature. And then it no longer commands your life. It no longer grabs you and takes you around. It is finished. Because you see it for what it is. It is not the eternal you. It is not the endless you. It is something that due to a certain set of circumstances, inner and outer, a feeling arises that you have named fear. You see this clearly. And then finished. And then let fear rise and fall. It's just being willing. What else can you do? I would like to ask you, what else can you do? You've tried it all. You know, how many paths, how many meditations, how many workshops, how many exercises, how many mantras, how many? Endless, endless, endless. So in the end, just have to stop. And in the stopping, the bottom falls out. Just opens. And there is everything. The fear, the pain, the pleasure, the fun, the boredom, the mind, all of it's there. But in that moment, there's total awakening to what is also there, which is the self, the God self, the light self. It's there, there, in the midst of it, there it is. I am not speaking to just any audience, and I must make this very clear. I'm speaking to a mature group of people who have enough basic trust, even though they may not know they have this trust, enough basic trust in their own life process to know that they cannot avoid what is within them, that they must relax into it. And I'm not talking about 6 years of therapy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about an instant letting go. It doesn't take year after year after year. It just takes doing it. The continuous willingness to let go and experience what's there. Because what is there is your resistance, their fear, your fear, and in the midst of all of it, that which is beyond fear. Otherwise, you keep trying to avoid your fear, not realizing that in the heart of the fear is the light. That which you are running away from is what you're trying to run toward. It is a joke. But of course, it's not funny until you know it's a joke. But that, you understand, it's not funny until you know it. It's painful. And I don't underestimate that. But the joke is that that what this fear has as its core is exactly what you are seeking. So I ask you to go where it is. You see, in the heart of the fear, because it is such a full-bodied feeling, you can use it. You know, it's harder to access some of the more refined feelings, like, you know what? Oh, maybe happiness. It's harder to access happiness than it is fear. Fear, now, present, in the body, now, fear, it's here, it's easy to access. In fact, it's so easy to access that you spend your whole life trying to unaccess it. Trying to put barriers of various ways of being unconscious to it. So down, boy, down, or down, girl, down, depending, down, down, down. And finally comes the knowledge that in the midst of what you are running away from is what you're trying to run toward. And that's when, if you've got any sense of humor, you start to laugh. You see, you finally see the thing that you've been so frightened of is the thing that brings you the treasure. The very enemy that you have been running all over this planet and other lives and blah, blah, trying to get away from is the very thing, has for you the very thing that you've been seeking. You cannot feel the bliss without being willing to feel it all. And that is what a mature psyche knows. And I hope a part of you, some of you anyway, can resonate to this today. It is the way to the truth of your light. And you say to me, I don't feel fear present. And if that be true, then you are truly blessed. But if you say that from a very distant point of view, I ask you to look again. I ask you to look at your feelings at 4 in the morning when you awaken. I ask you to look at your feelings when you contemplate the future. I ask you to any way you have of pointing to that. Because in the heart of that which you fear the most is the treasure that you have been seeking. So please, be willing to be whole. Be willing to be whole. Well, my friends, thank you. I'm sure you're all thanking me. But I hope you understand. Midge, did your question get answered?
Well, I'll save it for that.
Fine. All right, then. My friends, thank you. Those of you that would wish to stay with us for 10 minutes and contemplate your fear, please remain, and thank you.
Good morning again. I would like to take this opportunity to remind you of the dates and the registration for the last Bartholomew workshop in February. It will be held in Abiquiu, New Mexico, February 4th through the 9th, 1995. The first 150 applicants will be accepted based not on the date we receive your request, but on the postmark date of the envelope. Therefore, it is unnecessary and unadvisable to send your deposit at this time. We are looking for postmarks from October 1st onward. This is so that everybody can have an equal chance to get into the workshop. At that time, send your request along with a $75 deposit made out to Vista Grande School to Phyllis Johnson, P.O. Box 98, Taos, New Mexico, 87571. Also, if you haven't heard the full information about the workshop on the previous tapes, please feel free to write Phyllis at that address requesting information, and we'll send you the information sheet back by return mail. Thank you.